Welcome to Behind the Numbers, the podcast keeps you up to date with football and the hobby. I got episode 34 for you today. I'm coming into the big national week, so a lot of people are excited to get to national and see some people and check out some cards, move some cards, trade some cards. So I'm excited for this episode. Hope all of you guys have a great time at national. This week, I'm going to cover, I'm going to do a little closer breakdown of the how Prism Optic and Mosaic are falling in terms of PSA 10 value. Just kind of want to give you kind of a percentage rate for something to work with. It might help you with some trades and stuff at National this week. Then I'm going to cover the AFC, NFC North for our last segment of our divisions. And then I had a little segment at the end I want to go over in terms of some pick your team strategies as we get ready for the 2021 NFL flagship products. Just something you kind of use throughout all of them. I'm going to use it from Prism from 2020 as just kind of a baseline, but just something to keep in mind as you get ready for the 2021 products. So now it's time for the show. Hey everybody, I hope you guys are doing well as we come to the close of July and getting into August. The summer's kind of going by fast for me. It's been a busy time. I've been doing a little bit of camping experiment with the family, with a 4 and 6 year old, just giving their first couple experiences. I've been on 2 camping trips so far, and I must be getting old because from the last one we had last week, and I'm pretty exhausted, but definitely want to get out some new information to you and just kind of keep things going in terms of my every 2 weeks in the off season. We are getting close. The training camps are actually underway, and so football is here. It's exciting. I'm really excited to get into this with you guys and just really hit in the next season of this show with 2021, because it'll be a great year for football cards. I really believe that. But for the show, I just wanted to start off with talking about a couple of PSA 10 rookie prices across. I use Mosaic, Prism, and Optic. Select. Too hard to compare here just because there's not a lot of them graded, and a lot of the high-end select cards are graded, so it's not really something we can kind of compare at this moment in time. And with the 3 levels of select, it makes it very difficult to kind of, is Concourse going to be the base select card, or are we going to, where's that going to fall? So it's a little bit tough one to, in that retrospect, to kind of get a good feel. But what I did was I took Herbert, Burrow, Hurts, Tua, Jefferson, and Lamb. Kind of, in my mind, the top graded guys in the product. And so just I will go through and just let you know these prices so you have them. But right now, Herbert's Mosaic, PSA 10, these are all just bases, so no color here, is going for $200, his Prism for $630, and his Optic for $290. Burrow's $170 for Mosaic, $425 for Prism, $260 for Optic. Hurts $80 for Mosaic, $240 for Prism, $180 for Optic. Tua $109 for Mosaic, which is interesting. $255 for his Prism, $155 for his Optic. Jefferson's $110 for Mosaic, which is really interesting. He's above 2 of the quarterbacks. I think that comes with the rarity of it. And Jefferson's $190 for Prism, and then $180 for Optic. Lamb is $66 for Mosaic, $228 for Prism, $199 for Optic. So pretty interesting to see Lamb's a little bit above Jefferson by a good chunk on his Prism right now, which I thought that was kind of surprising. But in terms of percentages, we have right now Mosaic is about 37% of the Prism PSA 10. So Mosaic's just over a third. I thought it'd be closer to half, personally, so I was a little surprised by that. And then Optic is at 64% of Prism. So it's clearly established right now in my mind that it's definitely Mosaic, Optic, then Prism. I think Select's kind of where you're looking for really high-end, low-end, low-numbered stuff. As we get more Select data, we might be able to throw something in there that gives a little bit more guide of how we'll kind of approach Select. But then when I was kind of curious to see if Optic had settled, because it's still, I wouldn't say it's relatively new, but it's still pretty low pop reports on Optic. And I went back and looked at Kyler Murray's Prism and Optic, and his right now Kyler Murray's Prism is going for $430 and his Optic is going for $275, and that's at 64%. So, or, sorry, excuse me, 63%, which is right at where the current percent breakdown is. So things have settled. I think the discussion of Mosaic versus Optic is pretty, pretty easy one. I mean, right now, Optic's base cards are valued much higher. I didn't think it would be that far apart, but it just, you know, the collectors have spoken and that's where we're at. So again, 37% of Prism is right around the Mosaic base cards. 64% of Prism is about the Optic cards, using Prism as the top, which we know is the top. So I thought that was a really interesting breakdown, you know, taking those C6 guys. I didn't put Jordan Love in there right now just because I think his stuff's kind of really fluctuating right now with Rodgers coming back, which we'll talk about as we get to the north here, which kind of segues into our AFC and NFC North discussion. So this is a very deep group of players in terms of they have good quarterbacks, good receivers, and good running backs. So I'm pretty excited to talk about this group. And we're going to start with Lamar Jackson and really fascinating stat with his line here we're going to go through. But right now his 2018 Prism rookie PSA 10 is going for 855. There's 585 in the pop. And the interesting part about this card is it's a 13% pop of a 10 right now. So Lamar Jackson's 2018 Prisms were a very tough gem. So if you have one, it's pretty rare and compared to the other pop reports and gem rates. It's the lowest I've seen of this of all the divisions we've had. So 13% gem rate. He had a 2018 White Sparkle PSA 10 sell recently for 1,200 with a pop of 10. That's kind of his high end. A little surprised that was as close as it was to just the base. You know, looking at 855 for a base, 1,200 for a White Sparkle with a pop of 10. I think I would have took that for sure. I'd pay an extra $300 and get that White Sparkle. It's definitely more rare. Pretty cool looking card too. Next guy we're talking about in the North, Baker Mayfield. 2018 Prism rookie PSA 10 is going for 405. 880 is his pop with a gem rate of 36%. And again, when I say gem rate, that just means a percent we expect or that got tens out of all the ones that were submitted to PSA. And this is just PSA, so there's show, you know, there'll be some through BGS and whatnot as well. 2018 Prism rookie auto PSA 10 for Baker, which just recently sold for 1700 with a pop of 69. What I'm going to do is I'll talk about all the AFC North and we'll just kind of talk about the like division as a whole, and then I'll move to the NFC North. And then we got Joe Burrow. He's 2020 Prism rookie PSA 10. It's going for 425. Really interesting thing about him right now, he's already at 1181 for the pop report. So he's almost pretty soon, I think he's going to be more than Baker and Lamar combined. That's something to really to consider in terms of the supply there, because the 2020 Prism seems to be especially in 2018, because 2018 there was the base and the silver. It's not that silver only argument. So Burrow's already kind of easily passed them both and almost both of them together. Burrow's 2020 blue prism out of 199 PSA 10 sold for 1800 with a pop of 8. Pretty good card there for low numbered. And then we kind of get to the veteran of Ben Roethlisberger, obviously a Hall of Famer, two-time Super Bowl champion. 2004 Topps Chrome rookie. Kind of put that one there. So the Topps. Topps is around 350 to 400 for its PSA 10, but the Chrome's more desired, as you can see here. The Topps Chrome PSA 10 is going for 1,000, just over 1,075. Popping that to 169. High card for him that just sold the 2004 Topps Pristine Refractor PSA 10, sold for 2,200 with a pop of 12. So the AFC North is in really interesting. I think a really interesting stand. They got the Steelers, who have a quarterback who's a Hall of Famer. His value is pretty stable and kind of on his way out. I was really surprised he came back. I thought he was going to be done after last year's kind of collapse in the playoffs and they lost to the Browns. But he came back for another year. You got Burrow coming off the major knee surgery with a lot of hype. A lot of people are buying him right now, which I think he's still at a good buy price if you believe that his knee is going to be good to go. You got Lamar Jackson, who's an MVP caliber player. Relatively down year based on expectations last year, but still has the legs and the ability to be a big fantasy contributor and also take the Ravens to a pretty high level. And then Baker, who's kind of slowly chipping away at the Browns and making them relevant. So it's really interesting in this conference to me is the Steelers have always been a competitor. The key question is just, you know, are they going to get a quarterback that can bridge the gap after Ben? And right now there's nothing in sight. And so in my mind, the Steelers are in kind of trouble because right now the three teams around them all have young, pretty good quarterbacks in general. You know, with Joe Burrow coming, he's got tons of weapons with the Bengals. You got Baker and the Browns keep building. They got a running game, good O-line. And Lamar's also got a pretty good his O-line needs a little bit of work. Lamar does, but it still will be fine. But he's got a good running game as well and a good defense to back him up. So just all in all, the AFC North, I do think Baker's undervalued still. I mean, at 405, And Burrow at 425, but Burrow is kind of hurt with a pop report. But Baker's at 880 as well, but I think Baker still shouldn't be half of Lamar. I think he should be closer to 600, maybe 620. So I would definitely be suggesting Baker's a good buy. I think Burrow's still a good buy because I just think he has a higher ceiling than Baker in terms of what he can do with that offense. He has a lot more weapons, it seems. And I do like the Bengals' offensive-minded coach and Zach Taylor. So I like a lot of the possibilities there for Burrow. Big Ben's pretty stable. I do think that, you know, 1075 for a pop of 169 for a Hall of Famer, I think that's a pretty respectable price, especially when we see what someone like Mahomes is doing and different guys that are just high level, like Russell Wilson and whatnot. Big Ben's had a very good career. I know he's had some question marks, you know, along the way, but still one of the better markets of football there is in the Steelers, and he's done really good for a really long time. So I think 1075 is a pretty good spot for him. I'd even look at the raw game for some of his rookie cards. Even, you know, taking a PSA 9 on some of these, I think would still be good cards just to have in your collection just for collecting. So I think Ben's a Hall of Famer. It's a good football guy to add. And to kind of turn the page here to the NFC North, we got Aaron Rodgers. 2005 tops rookie PSA 10 for him is 725. Pop on that's 2000. I was actually quite surprised that Rodgers' pop was so high in his tops cards. I know tops cards are a little bit overprinted, but at the same time, that's kind of one of his staples, and it's still going for 700 to 800. He has 2005 SPX patch auto out of 250, went for $5,000, one of his bigger rookie cards you can find. And then I have Jordan Love on here as well. I think Rodgers just showed up to camp, I think yesterday or 2 days ago. It's kind of tempered the Jordan Love it's going to start mindset. So Jordan Love will probably take a hit in his cards over this week and going. So if you sold last week, great. I wouldn't try to sell now because I do think you might be surprised how far it'll go down if he's not going to play. And in just general, the Packers have not been very supportive of what Jordan Love's been doing. So that's also a concern. But anyways, Jordan Love was selling right before Rodgers. Came back at 220. Prism rookie PSA 10 is base for 220. Pop a 133 on that. 220 Prism silver. So his silver was sold for 1275 last week, which is pretty high. So whoever has a good sell there, in my opinion, getting that for his PSA 10 silver. And Chicago's going to have Justin Fields. I didn't do Dalton because I don't think we're going to be collecting Dalton and looking for a big comeback story with him. But Fields will be the guy in 2021 Prism that we'll be going for the Bears. Kirk Cousins. Just kind of a, long time average quarterback that's put up pretty good numbers, but always faltered in the wrong times. So his cards aren't really valued. There wasn't any base rookie prisms I could find. He's only got 12 of them. They're PSA 10s. But he had an autograph sell a couple weeks ago for 300 of pop 18. But Cousins isn't going to be anything we're going to be trying to get unless you're just a fan of the Vikings and you're a real fan of Cousins and that can be your play. Jared Goff is quite low. He's been kind of left for dead in terms of his value. His Prism Silver PSA 10 is 160 right now with a pop of 445. He had a Contenders Auto PSA 10 sell for 346. You know, he doesn't have a lot of work with the Lions right now. Their best receiver, which we'll get to, is T.J. Hockenson, which is the tight end. They don't have anything else with Galladay leaving. They drafted Amara St. Brown, but they don't have a receiver one on the roster. They have pretty good running backs with Jamal Williams and DeAndre Swift, but I think it's going to be tough sledding for Goff in terms of passing because I don't think he has the passing weapons. So it's going to be tough for him to prove the doubters until he starts getting more weapons. So he might even fall further as the Lions continue to build. If they give him a chance to be the quarterback there could be some value there because 160 is dirt cheap for a quarterback that was number one overall pick. But right now, there's nothing I'm looking at right now because I don't think he has ability or the people around him to get anywhere higher than he's at right now. So that's kind of the quarterback's landscape. So in terms of NFC North, you know, it's also a pretty interesting division. I think that Rodgers is still on his roughly way out, I would say. It just depends on what the Packers are thinking with Love. Kirk Cousins and Goff, I don't see much value there. Fields kind of the ability to be the quarterback in this division that people want to go after. Rodgers is established. He's a Hall of Famer, so his cards are similar to Roethlisberger in the sense that I don't see them going down. They're going to be pretty stable. He has a Super Bowl. He probably should have more. But I still think Fields will be kind of the young guy in this division, has ability to kind of turn this division upside down if he can get the Bears going, because they do have a lot of talent around him. I like Allen Robinson, David Montgomery. They just traded Anthony Miller, which I thought was interesting, but, you know, Cole Kmet is pretty good young tight end as well. So we're kind of moving to running backs for the AFC North. We got J.K. Dobbins, 2020 Prism rookie PSA 10. It's actually going for 110 with a pop of 19. A lot of that's pop influence, but 110 for a running back is pretty good. His orange Prism out of 299 sold for 300. Very low pop on that as well. We got Nick Chubb in the north as well. 2018 Prism rookie, 172. Pop of that's 138 at a 40% gym rate. He had 2018 blue Prism PSA 10 sell for 300 with a pop of 5. So again, that same idea. If you're going to buy the base for 170, you might as well pay another 130 and get a numbered card out of 300 that only has a pop of 5. So I think that's all, you know, something to look at. Again, that color argument, going for the color, again, those kind of low numbered cards so that you can kind of have a better long-term value on those cards. You got Joe Mixon, 2017 Prism rookie for $67 for PSA 10. Really interesting. I was really surprised to see that with a pop of 109. Mixon hasn't done anything to warrant that like to be higher. But the real surprise is there's a lot of star stock offers on my raw one for like 30. And I guess I should be taking those because if his PSA 10 67 and mine's just a raw card for 30, that's not a very good return on your grading of a PSA 10. So that's very interesting that I was surprised it was under 75, to be honest. His camo PSA 10 out of 25 sold for 255 with a pop of 7. So very low numbered rookie there for 255. You know, if Mixon get going with Burrow, that offense could be pretty awesome. He's just had a tough time being consistent. When he's on the field, he's pretty explosive, but he's had a tough time staying on the field and just kind of coming through what people expect from him, which is pretty high. Najee Harris will be the Steelers guy in the backfield, and obviously he'll be a guy in 2021 Prism we'll be looking for. In all, the North's pretty stacked in running backs. Those are four. Dobbins, Chubb, Mixon, and Harris are all relatively high fantasy assets in terms of people like those running backs for their potential. I think, in my opinion, Dobbins has the biggest upside because I just think that I'm hoping the Ravens just let him go instead of giving Gus Edwards goal line carries and really spreading that backfield around. I hope they kind of go more to like a 70-30 instead of 50-50 like they did last year and just let Dobbins eat, because I think Dobbins can put up a huge year if he gets the reins. Nick Chubb, it's all been about health and just consistency. When he's on the field, he's very productive. So if he can stay healthy for a full season, we can definitely see a big cash in for him as well. And Mixon as well, because if Burrow and those receivers are going, they're going to have to respect the pass, and that opens up the run for Mixon. He could have a lot to offer as well. Harris, I'm really interested to see how, because their old line's really shook up, but the Steelers always find a way to kind of have successful running backs. So I'm kind of excited to see what he can do in that offense, because he's a really talented running back out of Alabama. So kind of moving to the NFC North. So we got Aaron Jones to lead the way here. His 2017 Prism rookie is at 151. Pop a 121 that. He didn't really have any high-end card sell. That's kind of like right. A bunch of his just base PSA 10. Remember, 2017 was a silver, but it was a base. They were all around 150. No other sales other than that. David Montgomery, 2019 Prism base, was $80. He had a red wave auto out of 149, sell for 173. Dalvin Cook, 2017 Prism for 225. I was a little surprised to see that high for him with a pop of 454. And I was also surprised by that. He has a pretty good, a lot of people graded Dalvin Cook, which surprised me seeing kind of the other 2017 pop reports. His camo for Dalvin Cook sold for 365 with a pop of 4. So again, that really weird argument of his base is going for 225. His number to 25 card went for 365. I mean, you have to trade up there, just come up with the extra $140 and get that rare card if you're buying Dalvin Cook. DeAndre Swift, 2020 Prism rookie, $40, very cheap with a pop of 11. Not a lot of people are grading DeAndre Swift. And he had a 2020 Disco PSA 10 for 100 with a pop of 3. Swift's definitely the buy here because he's just so cheap. And he's right now, in terms of dynasty football rankings, he's in the top 5. And I just kind of like to use that as a little gauge to kind of give me a perspective. The Lions do feel like they're committing to the run. They might not give him the full Lions share, no pun intended, but I do think that he has the ability to move up the ranks and move up to kind of the Dobbins level and get up to $80, $90 for his, you know, base rookie card. I think it'll be tough if the Lions aren't winning games, which they're probably not going to win many games next year. But I do think if you kind of show some stats next year, I think that we'll kind of move in a good direction for him going into 2022. And either way, I still think he can get up to $90 to $80 this year if he shows some good touchdowns and puts up some numbers fantasy wise. Cook, you know, I think he's kind of probably pretty close to a sell for me. He's kind of a sell in dynasty too. I just think that I'm just not sure how long the wheels are going to last for him. I think he's a great running back, but we'll see how long he can sustain that. Montgomery kind of had a breakout year last year. He's kind of limited and kind of – he's got a pretty high floor but pretty low ceiling, so not much to look at there. Aaron Jones re-signed with Green Bay, but they're scaring me. They got A.J. Dillon there as well, so I could kind of see that kind of running back get this contract and him kind of drift off a bit. So I'm a little bit worried about Aaron Jones as well. So all in all, I think just the NFC North, DeAndre Swift to me just is the buy. The rest would probably be – I would probably sell all three of them. I'd probably sell Jones, Montgomery, and Cook at this point if I was moving those cards. And then probably my favorite position to talk about, obviously, is the wide receiver and tight ends. The AFC North is pretty interesting in terms of the receivers they have. They got, put Marquise Brown for the Ravens, but might be Mark Andrews is their best one. But Marquise Brown actually had quite a few Prism rookie cards graded. He had 267 PSA 10s and only going for $36. His Prism Silver PSA 10s going for 136 with a pop of 65. I did put him on there too because he kind of going into that third year, and some receivers that were super successful in college, it kind of a tough transition to NFL. That third year, it kind of clicks. It could click for him. I think that's going to be really dependent on his connection with Lamar and very reliable in terms of his route running and getting open. He has had some drop issues as well. So if he can get all that stuff taken care of, he should be in good shape. Odell Beckham's kind of the Browns guy. We're not going to talk about him right now just because he's just really fallen back. He's just not a person we're going to be looking at his rookie cards. I do think that he has a chance to kind of revitalize a little bit, but I kind of keep saying that every year. So until I start seeing something, I don't think he's a person we're going to talk about in terms of his cards. T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, but Ja'Marr Chase obviously will be the 2021 class. But T. Higgins is actually pretty surprising. He's going for 122 for his PSA 10 with a pop of 15. He had a red shimmer out of 35, go for 233. That was a pop of one. So Higgins is getting love in the hobby, which is cool to see. Claypool, his base Prism is going for 81. His with a pop of 24. He had a rookie silver auto go for 440 with a pop of four. Claypool is a very interesting player because they have Deontay Johnson, who has been pretty good, and they brought back Juju. So they still have three receivers, but I do think Chase Claypool has the best receiver one chance out of the three. He's big, he's fast, he's a great red zone target. Deontay's had problems with drops. Juju's a pretty good possession receiver, but I do think Chase Claypool is the biggest upside. So I do think he's actually, for 81 for him, I think he's a solid buy for the Steelers, especially with one more year with Ben. There is some concern long term with Chase if they don't have a quarterback plan, but I would be looking into Chase for sure for 2021. T. Higgins is a little high for me right now, especially with Ja'Marr Chase coming in and seeing where he's going to be with Tyler Boyd, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins. There's a lot of mouths to feed there, and all three of them are going to be really good, and I think that Chase will be the receiver one. Marquise Brown, $36. I wouldn't mind taking a shot on him just to see if he kind of clicks, but that's kind of a low risk chance there for him. And then, like I said, Odell Beckham, I'm probably not really paying much attention to right now. In terms of the North, for the NFC, Davante Adams, Allen Robinson, kind of always pulled together because they're that same year, 2014. Tons of tops Chrome rookies for Adams selling right now, about 130 a pop, with a pop report of 140. 2014 green Prism card of Adam Silver, 400. Allen Robinson, not a lot of sales. It's really hard to find sales of Allen Robinson. I've mentioned him before. I think he's a buy. He's just really consistent. He's always a kind of top 10 receiver every year in terms of yardage and receptions. The last three or four years, but not getting that kind of love in the hobby. If Fields gets going, the Bears, have a good year, I could see his prices coming up for sure. He had a black refractor for Topps Chrome, sell for 150 with a pop of two. Justin Jefferson's kind of, you could say, the darling of the group. He's the youngest, had one of the best rookie receiver seasons in years. 2020 Prism rookie for him is going for 190. Pop of 68 with a gem rate of 28%. So he also has that really low gem rate on his Prism cards right now. 2020 Prism Blue Wave out of 199 for Jefferson, sold for 475 with a pop of 9. So, Jefferson is getting great value on his base cards, and he has some nice color that's selling well. Jefferson in general is just selling well. His mosaics are selling. If you search Jefferson on a 130 point, he's getting a lot of sales right now. A lot of people are on him. I like him. I have a lot of his cards. He's one person I've been chasing all year. and breaks and whatnot. And we'll kind of talk about the pick your team pricing. I think guys like that are good guys to target in the pick your team pricing, as people are really hard chasing quarterbacks if you want a little more affordable chase. Other guy I put, TJ Hockenson for the Lions. His 2019 Prism rookie is going for $70. I was kind of surprised that he was above Marquise Brown. And that might just be kind of a one-off sale there, but still, Hockenson has a chance to be in that realm with George Kittle and Travis Kelce in terms of talented tight ends. He was a top 10 rookie draft pick, so he's no slouch. He's definitely an elite talent. If Goff can get going with him, I do think Hawk could have a pretty big year. He had a blue wave PSA 10 sell for 115 with a pop of 2, so you kind of see the ceiling there on his cards right now because it hasn't done much yet. Some sleepers are, well, in terms of, so in general, there's that whole North, there's some pretty good receivers all across the board. I think the only team that really is lacking receivers is the Lions. Every other team has a pretty notable receiver. And, you know, you got the Ravens also drafted Bateman. He's a guy to watch as well. I'm not a huge fan of Bateman, but he could fit as a red zone target for Baltimore, which they desperately need. In terms of sleepers or just guys keep an eye on, Kellen Mond with the Vikings, the rookie quarterback they draft this year with Kirk Cousins getting older. They could use a young guy that can move, that could kind of keep the offense going once Cousins moves on. Irv Smith Jr. also with the Vikings is kind of a breakout tight end candidate. He was really highly touted out of Alabama, kind of showed some flashes last year. We could see something there, but again, it's a tight end. These sleepers that I mentioned are kind of raw games, kind of buy them for $1, sell them for $6. Just some nice little raw game plays. A.J. Dillon, again, if he gets going with Aaron Jones, a more two-headed monster backfield, definitely like what he can do. Darnell Mooney's a good sleeper for the Bears. I think that's why they trade Anthony Miller, because they really like him as a receiver too. Very good vertical threat, very good speed. I think he's definitely a guy I'd look at. Pat Freiermuth for the Steelers. He'll be a rookie this year. I just put him on there because the Steelers do a great job with tight ends as well. So I do think that he could be a very good fit for them. And he's also kind of a fan favorite from Penn State, going back to kind of Pittsburgh, staying in-house. So that's a nice one. Adam Thielen I just put on there. I know he's a veteran. I think he can't do a lot, but he's just so cheap. He's got Justin Jefferson to protect him a little bit now. So I do think he could have some gains in terms of getting back to what he did two years ago. Last year was a little bit down for him with injury. And then Andy Dalton, just could kind of watch if he's 3-0 or 4-0 with the Bears. Definitely guys that can, quarterbacks get wins, they get money on their cards. So he could be a guy you could kind of buy at the start of the season, sell before Fields takes over. So that's kind of the AFC, NFC North breakdown. Hope breaking down those four divisions is helpful for you. Just kind of remind you of the names as we get into training camps here. And obviously we'll keep talking about these names as we hear more and more news going forward. So the last thing I wanted to talk to you guys about just a little bit was just kind of strategies that I use for pick your team pricing when it comes to just scoping out teams that have a chance to build to better value. And for me, it's just, I'll just be honest with you, I'm not a guy that's going to go pay the huge number for the Chargers, pay the huge number for the Bengals on the breaks, especially on pick your team. I like to go and kind of find those guys, those teams that are undervalued. The breakers and everybody, they're going to price the quarterbacks because they know they're going to sell. And if you're going to go for a quarterback, 100% go for that. I'm more talking about if you're trying to just get in a break, enjoy the break, and get some small gains in terms of value. So when I look at this, I got a good friend of mine showed me a pick your team pricing from release of Prism. I'm just going to read through you that these were the ranking of the 15 teams, how they are ranked in their pricing to start. So this is release, one hobby box of Prism. So it was Chargers, Bengals, Dolphins are all the same price. So that this person put all the top three quarterbacks the same price. And it was Steelers 4, Cowboys, Colts, Raiders, Chiefs, Broncos, 49ers, Eagles, Vikings, Packers, Washington, and Bucks. And so the reason I want to go through that list is you can really see to me, you have the Steelers and Cowboys and Raiders were kind of all, I mean, the Cowboys, you weren't super overpriced because of Lamb, but the Steelers were because they're the Steelers. So you got to be careful of those kind of high teams that, like, and the Chiefs were overpriced because they have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but they also have Mahomes. And so you got to kind of watch out. And the Raiders, they had Henry Ruggs, but that's kind of all they had. So for the Raiders to be seventh with just Henry Ruggs, you got to kind of watch out for those bigger franchises that are going to be priced up just because they have more fans to buy them. And so when I look at this list, really stands out is you have the Eagles, Vikings, Packers, 11, 12, and 13 on this list. And so really looking at those second, third round quarterbacks that you can have a chance to kind of grow with, like Hurts did, and like Love kind of has, even though Love was a first round quarterback. I think that those are really great targets. I think the Vikings were really cheap because the market of the Vikings isn't great, but they got an elite receiver in Jefferson. So for me, like right now, I'm already kind of leaning towards, I really like the Bengals next year and pick your team because of Ja'Marr Chase. I like them because of Ja'Marr Chase, and you have a little backup plan with Joe Burrow second year cards, which still have some value. So I really like the Bengals right now. And you know, you can kind of take it that way too with the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins will be kind of priced pretty low. They have Jalen Waddle, and then you have second year for Tua. So kind of looking ahead, I'm kind of talking about 2021 right now. And when you kind of look at even kind of the Bucks were 15th on this list because of Brady, they didn't really have a great rookie class. So it wasn't something that was a home run. It was most people just chasing Brady cards. So that's kind of be careful with that, because I think the Brady cards still sell well. So if you're just doing for selling, but in terms of if you're just trying to be a Bucks fan, it might be overpriced just because of Brady for you. But yeah, so there's kind of, when you look at the pick your team prices, I'd really like to kind of chart target kind of top receivers, or look at those guys that have second year rookie cards that could be of value. You know, the Chargers will be super cheap probably in pick your team because their top pick was an offensive tackle. They didn't add much offensively, so they could be a good second year Herbert card if that's your play. The main point here is that if you want to fade the quarterbacks a little bit, there's value to be had. And if you also target later quarterbacks, you have a good chance of getting those pick your team prices to raise where you feel really good about what you paid on your team. So yeah, that's just a good little pick your team pricing. Kind of run through what's going in my head when it goes through those things. I guess lastly, guys, if you have any feedback on different segments you want to hear more about, as we get ready for season 2 here, I think we have one more episode, which I'll have an episode with Chris Leroy here in about 2 weeks. We're going to do a retail update. Retail has changed a lot since we talked to him last, and he has a great insight on that. I want to bring that to you guys. But I do want to go ahead and just get your feedback on different segments. I do want to get more into vintage. So I do want to talk about some more vintage football cards, just whether it's just, you know, hey, Jerry Rice rookie cards are selling for this, or just kind of just give us some more perspective so we're not just on the modern. I know the modern is the up-to-date and the thing that's changing the most, but I do want to keep us in line with the vintage cards, because I find all years of football fun. But again, I appreciate you guys listening. Please leave comments in the video or reach me on Twitter at numbers_behind. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in.